Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna on News Talk.
I'm joined by an expert panel to discuss HRT. I'm joined by Dr. Colette Barry of Menopositive and consultant physician at the Bonsecours Hospital in Dublin, Victoria Jones, the menopause pharmacist, and Loretta Dignam, founder and CEO of the Menopause Hub. We are talking, as I say, about HRT. And before the break, we were talking about how things have gone since June 1st and the free HRT scheme came into being. And Victoria, it is a very positive development. It did send out a message, as Loretta said, and gave women access to something that is expensive. But there are shortage issues. What's going on there? Because you touched on Viagra and there isn't a problem getting Viagra. Why is there a problem getting HRT?
There's never been a problem getting Viagra, ironically. It's a really complex issue. And while the conversation around menopause and the free HRT has been a great tagline for the political parties, I wish that we were using more of our political power to lobby the pharmaceutical companies. So for estradiol is on the tip of everyone's tongue. It's incredibly short supply in the Irish market. It has been on the market for a very long time. But because the prices of drugs are negotiated at a point in time, maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago, the cost of production of everything in the world, your coffee, your milk, your HRT, everything has gone up in price. So if the government, for say, has negotiated €5 or €10 for a packet of Estradiol, and in the 10 years since they've negotiated that price, production, the companies, it's just not worth their while to produce it. I have been told that it is not a viable option for these companies to produce it, that they're not making any money out of it. Well, then negotiate with these companies and make sure and ring fence some product for the Irish market. In the UK, you can't get UK product in, there's a list in the UK that they will not export. They keep it for only their population. We should be doing the same here. We should be insisting on a particular amount coming into the Irish market and negotiate on the price. We have so many people in the government that can do that. Instead, we are having a huge foray about free HRT. It's only free if you can access it. So while it's wonderful, and I'm sure the Minister, Jennifer, has had great press out of it, it's very difficult. So as a pharmacist who runs a specialised menopause pharmacy, I probably do more HRT than any other pharmacy in Ireland. I spend at least a quarter of my day where I should be talking to my patients, looking for stock, trying to source stock, trying to explain to patients why I can't get their product. I use Estradiol. So even for myself, it's incredibly stressful. And the amount of stress and anxiety it adds to women is unfair. And in a period of time where we're trying to reduce that anxiety level and they found something finally to make them feel better, and then they go to the pharmacy and they're told, can't get it. What do you mean you can't get it? It's very frustrating. And so we go out of our way to do it. But there's only so much product coming into the Irish market. So something the government needs to intervene. You can't just roll out a scheme. While it was fantastic and it empowered so many women and it opened up conversations, that's the major positives of the free HRT scheme. But we had free HRT for a large majority of Irish women already through the medical card. So there was a huge proportion of women who were able to access it for free. So I do see much more conversation around it, but there's no conversation from the government on shortages or ring fencing or trying to talk to these pharmaceutical companies and saying you really need to increase your production. And pharmaceutical companies don't make product that doesn't make them any money.
Yeah. And I think the shortages, and as you say, coming up against that wall or that barrier also sends a message to women that their health is not being prioritised, which is an age-old issue. Dr. Colette Barry of Menopositive and consultant physician at Bonsecours, can I bring you in on that? What impact does it have on women if they're changing the brands and they're going from one patch that works for them and one patch that comes off them and inflamed skin and all of that? Does that impact on their perimenopause journey?
Okay, very much so, because they may be on one patch which suits them very well and they're getting very good absorption out of it and their symptoms can be really controlled if they have a supply of that for maybe 2 or 3 months. And then they may move on to a different patch and it's not absorbing as well and they're feeling anxious. They may be getting night sweats, flushes again. I suppose in my position as a doctor, I'm very privileged to be dealing with these patients, to be prescribing for these patients. I know there's problems with patches, so I do tend to move more towards gel. I prescribe a lot of Estrogel. I prescribe a lot of Divigel because I know it's available and women can access it and they then get familiar with the gels from the start and it is available, so they don't get that stress about going in for patches, not being able to find an appropriate patch. And women are actually moving from patches to gels because they have had a lot of problems with the patches. Now, to date, none of my patients have had problems accessing these gels. Progesterone is available, testosterone, testogel, Tostrin 2% gel have been available. So I haven't had any issues there. So I, as a prescriber, that's how I'm trying to manage these difficulties for my patients. But if there's problems with access to Estrogel and Divigel, certainly, it would cause huge problems for patients. I mean, these medications are keeping them in work. They're keeping them in relationships. They're keeping them, as good parents, good friends, keeping their lives going.
Yeah, and that should be important. Loretta, what are we going to do about this? Can you get another petition going that we can all get behind?
Well, listen, I have to say, I'm all for women advocating for themselves. And women have had to, through the whole perimenopause and menopause journey, advocate for themselves with their clinicians, with their doctors. And so I think, there's power in numbers. And I think programs like this are absolutely amazing because it brings it to the attention of the public. And I think that's something that we could consider. I've always wanted to march on the Dáil about women's issues. So, maybe the HRT shortages is the right thing that we should be doing. But I do all think that we should be working together. And I think getting free HRT in itself is proof that if we act together and if we join forces and we put our voices together, we can change and make changes in society for our own good. And it really is time that women start to take their own health into their own hands and to advocate together. So yes, I think is the short answer.
Very fantastic. Yes. Colette, let's get into the different types then briefly. We've touched on estrogen a lot, but you've also mentioned that there is progesterone and testosterone. Tell us a little bit about those.
Okay, so progesterone is primarily used at the moment to protect the uterine lining, as when we give people extra estrogen, it can cause the lining of the womb, the uterine lining, to thicken, and there can be a small risk of basically uterine cancer, and therefore we give women the progesterone to protect their uterus. But since setting up my menopausative clinic a year ago and dealing with patients, what I really have learned is progesterone is a systemic hormone. It certainly works in the brain. It works systemically around the body. Women find it calming. It's great for sleep. It's great for mood, anxiety, and even women who have this background tension. They can be doing very well on their estrogen. And then you just add in progesterone and it just gives that calming effect. Tension, anxiety just reduces. So progesterone certainly is important for all of those benefits and probably also going to be very important for mental health issues. And that's something that really we're still discovering. Now, so most women will get set up initially on estrogen and progesterone. And when women are set up on estrogen and progesterone, what I always say to my ladies is, come back to me and let's see what's left. So what symptoms are they complaining about then? So from the point of view of testosterone, so what is it beneficial for? Certainly it gives women energy because a lot of women are just dragging themselves around. Motivation. My women in their 40s who are struggling in work say they just have no motivation to do what they used to do, what they used to love doing in the workplace. Lack of vitality. They're struggling with memory, concentration. They're struggling with mood. So certainly testosterone can really help with brain fog. And to quote patients, what patients who come back having started testosterone will say is they have a pep in their step. They say a joie de vivre. It's life back in colour. And the big thing that they say is, I'm back. I'm me again. And it's there's great satisfaction to hear people coming back with that. And of course, testosterone is known for helping with libido, and it certainly can do that for a number of people, not for everyone. But certainly there's a lot of benefits from testosterone. It's not just libido.
And I think that's why it's really important that we have these conversations. We can't talk about every single facet of this, unfortunately, in the time constraints that we have. But particularly for women, we talk about aging and anti-aging, and we tend to look at aging and the menopause, although that is changing, as a slowing down and, you know, withering away. And that is so not the case. And that's why I think women often accept a lessening of their libido, lessening of their energy levels, an overwhelm, that that's just the way life is, and it doesn't have to be that way. So I want to thank each and every one of you on this panel for holding space for women and giving them back that pep in their step and beyond. Victoria, I'm conscious there will be people listening who cannot take HRT. I know I have a number of friends who have had breast cancer, and estrogen isn't an option, and I want to include them in this conversation. So what would you say to people who can't take HRT?
First of all, I'd like to say that there is options out there for everyone. And I'm going to say things that are really boring, but there is so much lifestyle choices out there that you should be using in conjunction with HRT. And if you're not able to take HRT, you should be doing those. So HRT is not a one size fits all, and it is not a golden bullet. So eating well, getting sleep, prioritizing your mental health. For me, it's going for walks, spending time with my friends, not drinking too much alcohol, getting sleep, doing my yoga, doing my Pilates. They actually fill me up and fill up my cup. But they're the kind of things we really need to focus on as well. So while HRT is great, it really cannot be used alone. So for women who can't use HRT, those lifestyle factors are even more crucial. So they need to be focusing on like going to the gym, lifting heavier weights, building muscle mass, getting stronger for longevity for them. There's lots of herbal supplements which you can use depending on what is their particular issue. Is it sleep? Maybe it's some magnesium bisglycinate. Is it a little bit of anxiety? Maybe it's ashwagandha. Maybe it is they're feeling a bit low. Are the B vitamins a bit low? Is it hot flushes? Then there's sage. So there's so many safe alternatives out there that you can use with HRT or without HRT, along with the lifestyle things. And people hate when I talk about lifestyle because they just want a simple solution in a packet. But it isn't that easy, and I wish it was. So there is loads out there that you can use really safely. And it is, maybe it's acupuncture for stress. Maybe it is hot yoga. I find amazing. I used to find that my brain wouldn't stop. And when my friend dragged me to hot yoga, I was like, oh God. I loved it. It's the only time my brain is quiet, and it's really good for my mental health and my physical health. So to try new things, get out there, drag a friend along. But there is lots and lots out there for women. So don't feel disheartened, and they can often feel marginalised because there is so much HRT talk. But please don't. They can also safely use vaginal estrogen, which is really important, not only for sexual function, that uncomfortable feeling they get in the vaginal area. Some women think that that's normal, or they get this bit of incontinence or stress incontinence, or they can't go on the trampoline anymore. They can't go to the gym anymore because they leak a little bit. Or it can be, so all of these things can often be helped with vaginal estrogen, which is just a tiny, tiny, tiny amount that is inserted locally into the vaginal tissue. And that can make a huge, huge difference. And that's a safe in the majority of patients who've had cancer, including estrogen positive breast cancer. And that's something that a lot of people don't know.
Yeah. So don't be afraid to put yourself first, to fill up your own cup, and to also still seek support and find out what it is you can do. Finally, Dr. Colette Barry, I want to ask you about post-menopause. I often get emails from women saying nobody is talking about this. So is HRT to be taken for a short period of time, a long period of time, forever? Are we still researching how long? a lot of questions there to end on.
No, that's a great question. I'm glad you asked that. Obviously, ideally women start HRT in perimenopause and they continue it all the way through their perimenopause. And that's when, as Victoria described, our hormones are fluctuating and we're really struggling with our multiple symptoms. And managing patients during perimenopause is more difficult than managing patients that are postmenopause, because with fluctuating hormones, I often need to change the amount of estrogen, progesterone, testosterone I'm giving patients. But post, and ideally, we say the patients should start HRT within 10 years of menopause. And that's very much to get the benefits from the bone and brain and heart benefits. However, I have a lot of women in their 60s who come along and are starting HRT. They probably went through an average menopause at the moment is about 51, 52, 53 in Ireland. So they went through menopause in early 50s and they can really be struggling by the time they get to their early mid 60s without having been on any systemic or indeed localized HRT. And they're really benefiting from starting HRT. And of course, when we start HRT, we're getting all the benefits. But if we don't continue it, we're quickly going to lose those benefits. So obviously the bone health, the bone mineral density, if we stop taking our hormones, will drop. We will lose the heart benefits, the brain benefits. So what we're really saying when we start women on HRT now, we are going to be on it for life.
Well, we as women all need to be part of this push, this change, moving on the research. And let's keep talking, let's keep pushing, let's keep fighting. Loretta, when you've had your break in Kerry, you can get on with organising the march and the petition, please. And to all of you again, thank you so much for holding space for women and doing all that you do. To Dr. Colette Barry of Menopositive and consultant physician at the Bon Secours Hospital in Dublin, Victoria Jones, the menopause pharmacist, and Loretta Dignam, founder and CEO of the Menopause Hub, thank you so much for coming on.
Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna. Sunday morning at 8 on News Talk.